How are we doing? we're just getting organised up here. Don't mind us.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, it's just been wonderful being back in here and being part of the worship. I'm just savouring this moment. I know Andrew is as well. It's just wonderful when we lift our praises together to God, and it's just like being back home. It's like we've been on a holiday for 3 or 4 months and we've just landed back and we're home. So thanks so much. I just want to give a wonderful shout out and a thanks to all those who have actually prayed for us and been in your thoughts and just sent a few, you know, messages of encouragement or checking in. Just thank you so much for that. We really, really do appreciate your prayers, and please keep praying. We just so need it. I mean, we all do, but we really, really do feel God's upholding and sustaining. So thank you so much. And also want to give a general thanks to God as well for just his faithfulness on this very interesting, uncharted part of our journey. I can honestly say, and I know Andrew does as well, is that we've felt God leading us and guiding us every step of the way. And it's been a reasonably smooth transition as well into Napier Baptist Church. And we're getting to know people. I mean, it's still early days. And as Andrew says, we're just getting our feet under the table still. So, but there are really exciting things that are happening. And there are some people in there who are really keen, really excited to see God do some things, some new things maybe. So we are praying together with them, we're planning together with them, and you know, we're getting our sleeves rolled up together to just do some things together in the community and in the church. So there's been some cool things that have happened already. We've done a 70s and over lunch for the people in the church, which there's probably how much, what percentage is probably the majority of the church is there. We were going to do a 65 and over, but that would have been most of the church, so
no one
not
to help.
Too many to serve, so we sort of had to raise the bar a bit, but we just wanted to honour them because of, you know, many of them have been so faithful there serving God, and yeah, just been a real delight to him and to us as well as we've got to know them. So getting involved in running a home group and just, you know, the usual church things, but just really feel God's goodness. So I just want to say thank you to God as well for being so faithful. Yeah, and I'll hand it over to Andrew.
That's mine. Cool. So thanks for the opportunity. Really appreciate the opportunity to be back and just to say hi and touch base with people. We're here for the week, not here for the week, like in Palmy for the week. We're taking a bit of a break. It's been what's it been like? It's been great, but it's challenging. And that's part of what I want to, talk about, share with you this morning. Tony and I did quite a bit of back and forthing about what I might cover this morning. And we landed on the idea of testimony of what God's been doing in the last 4 months with us. In the church, in the community. Obviously, we had a cyclone go through and a few other bits and pieces. It's all right. I'm all right. Don't worry. This actually happens most Sundays. What I want to do is I want to try and shape what I want to say around a couple of things. One, I want to shape it around a passage of scripture from Mark chapter 4. But I also want to shape it around what God has put on our hearts in terms of vision for Napier Baptist Church. They kind of had a vision, kind of didn't, and we've kind of taken what they had, introduced it to the church about 3 weeks ago, just to give us some clarity, to give us some focus. Because it's really important that at the moment as churches we are focused. We know what we're about, we know what we're doing, and we know where we're going. And I want to start off by reading a passage out of Mark chapter 4. You'll know the passage well, starting at verse 35. On that day when evening had come, he, that is Jesus, said to them, "Let us go across to the other side and leave the crowd." They took him with them in the boat just as he was. The other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose and the waves were breaking into the boat so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a cushion. And they awoke him and they said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he awoke and rebuked the wind and he said to the sea, "Peace, peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" And it starts off on the day when evening had come, Jesus said to them, "Jump in the boat, let's go, we're going across the other side." So it was evening, it was getting dark. That's an interesting time to decide to go sailing. But it was getting dark, and we were talking to a guy who went through the cyclone, and at 1 o'clock in the morning, he was in East Valley. He was in his bed, fast asleep. 1 o'clock in the morning, and he heard some dripping, just drip, 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 and it woke him up. And he just dropped his hand out of bed and into water. And that's the first he knew that the cyclone was coming. Over the next few hours, the water went up over the roofs, and right next door, you know, the story of the two-year-old that drowned. He spoke to them before that happened and asked if he should help them. And they decided that he had other people that he needed to try and help get out. And didn't. Not a Christian guy, but a guy that we have had a bit of a connection with, and being able to just minister to a little bit as a church. You know, we think life is going to be the same tomorrow, don't we? We often think life is going to be the same tomorrow. But here we see in this story, the amazing thing is Jesus said, "Get in the boat. It's time to get across the other side." And it says in verse 36, that he went just as he was. So he was already in the boat because he was teaching from the boat. We learned that a little bit earlier. He's teaching the crowd from the boat. And he just says to his disciples, it's time to go. It's time to go. It's evening time. It's time to go. Do you think that Jesus knew that a storm was coming? Do you think he knew that a storm was coming? And he called his disciples into the boat and he said, now, let's go. Why? Why? He was calling them right into the middle of a storm. Because he had stuff that he wanted to teach them. And you know, one of the things I've just been to, I'm going to go all over the place, but that's right, you'll be a little bit used to that. We've just been to the Baptist Hui here in Palmerston North for 2 days. And there's such a storm brewing in our churches. The Baptists represent 250 churches, 40,000 people in New Zealand. And the storm over LBGT, the storm over the authority of Scripture, it's coming, it's here. If we drop our hand, we'll find the water flowing right next to us right now. But here's the thing. Jesus wanted them in the storm. He wanted them there. This wasn't a surprise. This isn't a surprise to God. Because God's got stuff that he wants from us, his people. He wants to shake us. He wants to rock us. He wants to roll us. He wants to wake us. You know, and we know the story, don't we, that they're kind of just sailing along and all of a sudden this crazy storm occurs. And these are fishermen. A lot of these men are fishermen and they are crying out for their lives. They're saying, teacher, don't you care that we are perishing? Don't you care that we are perishing? And you see, Matthew describes the same storm and he uses the word, the Greek words, seismos megas. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? That's the storm. Seismos megas. Seismos, predominantly used of an earthquake, a shaking, a tempest, a storm. Megas, exceedingly great, high, large, loud, mighty. Church, are we ready? Are we ready? Are we ready? And the boat was being swamped by the waves, and they thought that Jesus didn't care because he was asleep. He was there, but he was not active. He was there, but he wasn't active. And that's how he wanted it. And see, often we are looking for signs that Jesus is working in our space, and that's okay. We can look for that. But sometimes he's wanting us to believe and trust him even when he's not active. Because he's waiting. Because he's waiting for us to learn some lessons. And you know, I feel like we have gone into a bit of a storm, not just into the Baptist Union, but also into Napier Baptist, as when Tonya said or alluded to, it's a very aged community, and I love the aged community, but there are no children, there are no young adults, there are no families, and that's where we're starting. But we are already starting to see a few people walk in the door and have conversations and starting to just see God starting to draw people in as he wants to do it. And the thing is that all we can do is pray. All we can do is seek his face for what he wants to do in that scenario and ask him to do the moving and to ask him to do the shifting and to trust him to do it. And we all need to be able to be in that space, don't we, where sometimes in life we are in a storm, stuff is happening in our life, and we need him, and him only. He's the only one that can do it. The question is, do we trust him? See, what amazes me in this story is that in the next slide, we'll see it. They wake Jesus up, don't they? Again, we know the story. They wake him up. And he asks them two questions, doesn't he? He says, why are you so afraid? Meaning, why are you timid, cowardly, fearful? And that's a word used of those who have no Christian faith. In Revelation 21. This is an incredible scene to me because, let's get the picture, these are fishermen, they know what danger is on the water. They know that they are in trouble. And they are fearful. And Jesus is asleep. And he's telling them when they wake up, he says, Why are you afraid? Why? He's asking them questions. Don't you know who I am? Don't you know how big I am? Don't you know how mighty I am? Don't you know how in control I am? Don't you know that nothing is too big for me? And see, what our fear indicates is that we are not trusting God in who he is. We're not trusting his bigness, his greatness, his authority. And what we are often doing in our own situations, aren't we, is we are fretting about what's happening in our spaces. And God is just saying to us, whether it's what's happening in the church, what's happening in our nation, what's happening in our own personal lives, God is just wanting his church to know, do not fear. Do not be afraid. He's got it. He's got it. And we might not even feel that he's there and active because he might feel like he's a bit asleep. But he's got it. And I just love the space that Sonia and I are in at the moment. I love being there. I love what we're doing. So many things about it are hard and difficult and challenging. But God is there. And he's in it. And he actually says to me, Andrew, if you fear, here's the thing, you still have no faith. You haven't learnt anything. This is what Jesus was saying to his disciples. I don't know how mind-blowing you think that. This is mind-blowing to me. Think of the storm, and Jesus is demanding that they are calm. He is demanding that they trust. He is demanding that they have faith. Because we often talk about this God that we believe in, but do we? We often talk about this all-powerful, amazing, all-knowing, all-powerful God, and yet whenever things start getting a little bit out of control, we are fearful, we're wondering where God is, we're wondering what's happening, but I feel like he just wants his church to trust him and believe and take hold of him in faith. Amen. Even if we can't see how he's working or see what he's doing or even feel him operating, take hold of him in faith. And I just want us to quickly work through the vision. This is the vision that God has, I believe, given us as a church. And the thing about vision, it's asking the question, what does our ideal future look like? And I think that's a great question for us as a church, for you as a church, for every church to be asking themselves, what does our ideal future look like? What are we aiming at? Where are we going? What are we trying to achieve? What are we trying to do? And to me, there are five key areas that I just want to share with you, really, and talk into a little bit. And I guess from my perspective of what I'm seeing and how I'm viewing it. And the first is relevant Bible teaching. And what I love so much about this church is its reliance on Scripture, its knowing that this is the Word of God, knowing that this is our authority. That is such a precious gift that you have. Don't take it for granted and don't lose it. Don't take it for granted. Don't just throw this beside your bed and think, it's just the Bible. This is the Word of God and on it we stand. But the second part to that is it has to be relevant. What we're teaching, what we're saying has got to be relevant. And what is... This would be a fun thing to do. We won't do it, but it would be a fun thing to do. Someday. The elders might do it. Wouldn't it be interesting if you did an anonymous survey about how relevant you feel the preaching is here? I'm not talking about biblical, I'm talking about relevant, because they're two different things. That everyone gets a piece of paper, one being not that relevant, 10 being exceptionally relevant. I wonder what would come back if we all marked where, as a church, we fit in that. I've been talking to a number of people lately in different contexts that hear biblical preaching but just find a lack of relevance to them, their life, what they're doing, who they are, the situation that they're in. And it's one thing being biblical, it's another thing being relevant. I was talking to a lady back in... one of the things that we're facing in Napier Baptist is they've had 6 pastors in 6 years. We're number 6. So there's a lot of... Well, I think there's going to be a lot of trust issues, isn't there? That we need to overcome, that we need to work through. But one of the things that a couple of people have said to me, in fact, a number of people have said to me about the speaking and preaching that they've been exposed to over the years. And many of them have been there for a while. One lady was telling me how she always just did her Facebook during the sermon. And they were really only trying to do 20-minute sermons, so I am a shock to them. Another lady actually came up to me and she says, "Man, I can actually understand what you're saying." And I was like, "Oh, that's good." But they're just examples of sometimes we think we are saying one thing or presenting one thing, but what are people hearing? And are they going away with the nuggets, the things that God wants us to go away with, to feed on during the week? I think that's a great question. Sometimes we don't want to ask these questions, but I'm just a one-off, so I can ask them. The second thing is contemporary worship. One of the things that I am so enjoying at Napier Baptist is every week I meet with the worship leaders and we unpick Sunday and we discuss it and we are brutally honest and we are every week looking at ways that we can improve, we can make changes, we can work together. And as a team, they're having fun and I'm having fun. And we've had a number of people come and talk to us and say, "Oh, even over the last couple of months, 2 or 3 months, the difference that is being made." See, one of the things that we can't be afraid of is we can't be afraid to scrutinise, to challenge, not in a "you're doing this all wrong," but just in a way that asks the question, can we serve God better in this space? Can we do this better? Or do we get all precious about it because, how dare them say that they didn't like that or didn't like this? We're having some great discussions, and I just really want us to encourage these open and honest conversations done in love and gentleness as they need to be done. But, you know, worship is so important. Praise is so important. I've just done a series on Joseph, and a very small part of it was looking at the tribe of Judah. And Judah means praise. And the name came from Leah, was Judah's mother. Doesn't matter if you don't know the story, it's all right. And Leah wasn't loved by her husband. And what happened was she had the first baby and she said, "Now he'll love me." She had the second baby, "Now he'll love me." Third baby, "Now he'll love me." Fourth baby, he said, "Now I'm going to praise the Lord." And he named him Judah. Because she got it that it's about praising God. And Judah is the tribe that always went first. Went first into the promised land, went first into Canaan, led the way, but also led the way into battle. Our praise and our worship is massive in our congregations. We are in an age of music where everybody's going around with these little things in their ears. Probably more than ever before, music is a way of communicating. And I think as churches, we just need to take it so seriously as a way to move forward in what God is doing, and a way of communicating the gospel, a way of entering the promised land, a way of fighting the battles. And we shouldn't be afraid of just assessing it and mixing it up a bit. And again, I'm not the most popular of some people for doing that, but that's okay. I didn't go to be popular. Anyway. The next thing that we're looking at is authentic community. This is such a big one for our Western churches, because biblically, if we read the Bible biblically, does that make sense? If we read the Bible biblically, the corporate is always more important than the individual. Who we are as a body should always be put before who I am as an individual. And one of the messages that, or a big part of the message that I've been talking about through the series of Joseph, is the story of Joseph is not about Joseph. It's about God, it's about what he's doing. It's about actually fulfilling his promise to Abraham that through him all the nations of the earth will be blessed. And we are children of Abraham, aren't we, if we're Christians? Galatians chapter 3. The story of Abraham just keeps on going. It's not about us, it's not about me, it's not about you. It's actually about the church achieving what God has called it to achieve. And you see, unless we get that focus and unless we have that firmly in front of us, you see, the storm is coming. In fact, it's here. Just put your fingers down in the water. It's here. And there's this sense that we just need to understand that if we are going to be who God has called us to be biblically, the corporate has got to be, this place is far more important than your own individual space. And that is so hard for us to understand. And it's even harder for us to outwork. And I've just finished the series on Joseph, did 14 Sundays on Joseph, and I'm just going into Acts chapter 2. We probably will cover maybe 15 to 20 sermons out of that one chapter, because there is so much in there about what the church today should look like, so much that we can learn from it. And so just a little challenge there maybe about authentic community. To do it, we have to put community before our individual needs. This is what Jesus said, because this is what he did. And he said, a new commandment I give to you, to as I have loved you. And how did he love you? And how did he love me? There it is. He gave up his life for us. For us. Number 4, loving our city and beyond. I would love to take what this church is doing in the community, just to wrap it up in my arms and take it back to Napier with me. I would love to be able to do that. What is happening here, I think, is so special. And I know Sonia and I have played our part, but actually the mantle is on other people now. And I pray that you will protect that space and you will love this community and you will love the city. And the people that are out there are broken. And we are the only ones that carry the answer. And I've been starting to connect in Napier with the city council, starting to connect with Yes, I'm trying to think of your name, sorry. Chris, yes, from the Marae Nui Medical Centre. That was a great conversation. From another family centre, which is just down the road from us, that employs equivalent of 36 full-time staff around mental health and issues like that. So we're starting to make these connections and have these conversations, but what I know, our experience here, and what I understand is these relationships take time to build and to kind of get trust and to just move into those spaces. And if there's one thing that I would ask you to pray for, it is that you would pray that we as a church can first of all become strong enough internally to start connecting externally with a community that is probably more broken than the one that you are in. It's a broken community. But God has got us there, and we're in the boat, and the waves are flying over us. But be not afraid. Put our trust in Him. Somewhere will put my little piece of paper somewhere. I don't know. Nice. Lucky someone's watching. But then there's also the mission, loving our city and beyond. I love those words. I didn't come up with those words myself, loving those city. I was just so captured by that as a mission statement, and beyond. And here's the interesting thing, and I know this is true for a lot of churches. So the focus of Napier Baptist is way more on overseas mission than it is about local mission. Right now they're doing a series over 3 Sundays, so I'm on my way for 2 of them, but then I take the 3rd one, which is part of the Baptist mission looking at overseas. A lot more finance goes into overseas mission than into local mission. And I'm a fan of overseas mission. We need to be in overseas mission. But as you know, we have to be local. We have to be impacting our community. We have to be Jesus to those who are just outside our door. And that's a massive challenge. And the 5th thing we cover is, and we're just looking at these are the 5 areas that I'm just plugging away Sunday after Sunday in different ways, plugging away into these spaces, committed to prayer. This is probably our most exciting area at Napier Baptist at the moment, is we had a prayer room about as big as the prayer room there, and we've had to move out of it because we can't get enough. It's too small. So we've gone into a bigger room that can kind of take up to 40 people. We're probably having, we have two prayer meetings, Sunday morning, and then we start at quarter past nine, but we have people there from 9 o'clock onwards, right to 10 to 10, and then we do another one on Thursday morning from 9 to 10-ish. And the exciting thing is, you know, 15, 20, 25 people in a church that probably has, we're averaging probably 100 on a very, very good day, would come. And yet we're having almost a quarter of them coming to our prayer meetings because they know that if we're not praying, what are we doing? If we're not praying, what are we doing? We're calling our new room the engine room.
Nice.
And Jesus said it, and I know I've spoken on it at least once before. What did Jesus say? My house shall be a house of prayer. Not a house of praise, although He wants us to praise. Not a house of His word, although He wants us to be preaching His word. Not a house of fellowship, There's got to be something in that, doesn't there? And yet, what is the hardest thing? The least attended thing? What are we least interested in? It's a pre-meeting. We're in the storm. The storm is coming. Church, we should be on our face. Because even what's happening in the church is scary. If we have a look. And I know we've all got stuff that we have to do. But I just want to encourage you to be a praying church. Pray like you've never prayed before. Gather together like you've never gathered together before. And seek God's face on behalf of his church, on behalf of his people, on behalf of this nation. That he would revive us. That he would change us as a nation into a group of people who love him and worship him and obey him and honour him. We need to be a people of prayer. And I guess there are the things that are really on my heart, both in Napier and for you guys. We know the song, don't we? We know the song. Do we know the song? With Christ in my vessel, I can smile at the storm. Who wrote that? I mean, honestly, who wrote that? That's unrealistic, isn't it? Exactly, not at all, somebody said. When his disciples were in a storm unto death, he said, "Do not be afraid. Trust me, because I am the living God." Trust him this morning, church, because with Christ in your vessel, you can smile at the storm. I won't sing it. Smile at the storm, smile at the storm. With Christ in my vessel, I can smile at the storm until he guides us home. Because this isn't our home. Until he guides us home. Sailing, sailing home. Sailing, sailing home. With Christ in my vessel, I can smile at the storm until he guides me home. And just the last little slide here. And I've shared this before here. It's my favourite leadership slide. It's a leadership quote at the moment. It's not where we are trying to go that's the problem. We can get consensus on the goal. The problem is, what are we willing to leave behind to get there? Corporately, what are we willing to leave, or rather individually, what are we willing to leave behind to corporately get there? We can get so tied up in our own stuff. This is eternity that we are talking about here. Church, do we believe it? Do we actually believe it? So we obviously survived the cyclone. Oh, you can put the next slide up. I just like that. Isn't that cool? We need to kind of have that picture imprinted, knowing that we have got the armour of Christ on. But the next picture, that's the cyclone. Helicopter was just outside our place during the cyclone. Because we couldn't get in or out for a number of weeks, but obviously our street was fine. Thank you for your prayers. It was interesting to be cut off from everybody for that long, from the family. Couldn't ring us. In one sense, quite nice. That's a joke. This is our house. See, it's just off that picture there. That's about where we are. So that's a picture of a few days after it with the water. We'll be going down by then. And that's just probably, I don't know, Sonia and I went for a walk maybe 3 days after it, and that was not even a block away from our place. That's what it looked like. But we did well. It was a great way to get to know the neighbours, because we couldn't go anywhere. And we all had to pitch everything together. But here's the thing, even when it's happening with Christ in our vessels, we can smile at the storm, team, can't we? Father, I thank you for your goodness to us. We love you. We thank you for saving us. We thank you for the amazing amount of resource that you give us in this nation. And I pray for myself too, Lord, here. May we use it for your glory. May we use it to extend your kingdom. May we truly become a city on the hill, or like a city on the hill, right here in Roslyn. Pray for COV to be that, continue to be that, and pray, Lord, for that for Napier. That in that broken community, we would be a city on the hill also. We ask for your mercy upon us, your empowering. We just ask that you would pour out your spirit again on our nation. We ask that we would take you seriously. In Jesus' name, amen.